Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Hello and welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian, your host, my co-host today, as he has been for the last several shows, Matt Harrison. Hello, Matt.
It's May. That means it's my month.
the month of May. Matt, May for
my,
Matt?
My phone autocorrects my own name May all the time.
It takes phones way too long to learn all of your special words.
Yeah.
You know, the things that are unique to you.
Because I'm Matt with one T.
Because you're Matt with one T. That's a big problem. Mm-hmm. I never, ever, ever, Apple, need to talk about F-I-R trees, fir trees. Never. If you ever see F-I-R, I always mean F-O-R every single time.
I don't use the word ducking a lot either.
Never. I'm never ducking. Yes.
Like, I duck occasionally, but I never talk about ducking in that tense.
No. I've thought this many times, that somebody, if Apple would allow it, that sold a naughty word, you know, injector into your dictionary.
Sure.
So all it did was inject all the naughty words in so that you wouldn't autocorrect them. How much? I would pay real money for that, but I'm sure Apple would never let that happen.
Yeah, a couple bucks here and there.
Sure. You'd make $2 on every deviant in America that speaks English. And that's most of us.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of deviants, we've got a variety of them.
Wait, what? How dare you talk about wide receivers in that way?
It is mostly wide receivers and one tight end. Today, we're talking, in a follow-up from last week, we're talking about the dynasty-relevant players in the contract year. Pass catchers from tight ends, wide receivers, from a dynasty orientation. And so these are the guys in the last year of your deal. And we'll talk about each guy. If we think they're going to stay, if they don't stay or do stay, who that helps, who that hurts.
Yeah.
And
the situation surrounding all of it.
Just like last week we did with the runners, this week we will do it with everybody else. So that is the plan of action. And we begin with this. Do you want to start with the players, or do you want to start with the teams that are eligible to
start with the teams? Because then I think that people in the back of their mind, while we're talking about some of these players, mm-hmm. can go, ooh, maybe this player could end up on this team. And here are the top 10 teams that I found that could need a wide receiver or tight end next year.
Okay.
And have the cap space to do it. All of these teams have at least $50 million in cap space next year and feasibly could use a pass catcher.
Got it.
The Colts are number one. And I should note, we're going to talk about a lot of these teams with these players coming up, because a lot of their high-priced players are coming off
the cap. Like T.Y. Hilton is an example, who we'll touch on a little later.
The Chargers, the Jaguars are number three, Washington number four, New England number five, Cincy number six, Baltimore number seven, the Jets, Dolphins, and Lions are 8, 9, and 10.
Okay, so those are your top 10 teams that are potential buyers next offseason.
Exactly.
When these players would presumably get to market.
They have the cap space and they have a need at the pass catching position.
Now, the most fascinating name out of all of the players we're going to talk about is a tight end.
Yeah.
And it's George Kittle.
And it's the only one we're going to talk about.
It's the only tight end. Well, that's right. It seems unfathomable that the Niners would let him go. I don't think he will. The Niners are 15th in cap space, I believe. And they've got about a little under $50 million, depending on who you look at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other receivers are, at least right now, they feel somewhat unsettled with Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, who we think is going to be really good.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know yet. So what are your thoughts on Kittle as the potential of him leaving? And although, again, it seems unlikely to me.
I don't think it's very likely that he leaves. Ross Dwelly is the only backup that's really notable behind him, and he's a restricted free agent next season. And I think Kittle is really a huge part of the way that Kyle Shanahan's offense is functioning.
For sure.
And remember, this team will spend money on guys who fit that offense. Kyle Juszczyk is getting paid $5 million this year to play fullback in the NFL.
Unreal.
That's unheard of.
Yeah.
And by the way, Kyle Juszczyk, he's a free agent after this year too. So that opens up a little bit of space for George Kittle. I don't think that they can let him go. So from a fantasy perspective, I don't really foresee this as a buy or sell situation.
Yeah, it's just a hold.
It's just a hold. Yeah. So it's kind of a boring way to start this conversation, but if Kittle ends up somewhere else, it can't be better than this situation, right?
On your Dynasty cheat sheet, who do you have higher for Dynasty Leagues ranked for Dynasty Leagues? Which tight end do you have higher? Do you have Kittle or do you have Kelce higher?
I have Kittle higher.
You have Kittle higher.
Yep. Kelce is, I think, in his age 30 season this year. So that bumps him down just a little bit.
So that means there's got to be, what, 4 or 5 years differential?
Yeah.
But the difference in quarterbacking would make up for at least a good chunk of that.
Hey, both of them had Super Bowl quarterbacks this year.
Well, that's a good point. There is that. And you know me, I'm not fighting Jimmy Garoppolo. All right, let's turn our attention to wide receivers, where I think this thing gets a little bit more interesting. Mm-hmm. Chris Godwin, coming off a monster season last year with the Buccaneers. Bucs have plenty of cap space, and so if they decide they want to keep him, they can. Mm-hmm. But they're also going to have to, they've got other things to juggle, including potentially Rob Gronkowski, Tom Brady. You know, there's a lot of things up in the air there too.
So, by the way, this rookie draft that happened 3 years ago now. It must have been a great rookie draft because it's Kittle, Godwin, Juju Smith-Schuster, Kenny Galladay, and Cooper Kupp, who are all leaving their rookie deals this year.
Those are good players.
So he's making $2.3 million this year. The Bucs have $57 million in estimated cap space. That's 13th. That's all right. Mm-hmm. Tyler Johnson is a fifth rounder that those of us in Minnesota know. He's on roster through 2023. Justin Watson is signed through 2021. He's kind of the third wide receiver in the mix there now. But there's a lot of question marks here. Will Tom Brady return in 2021?
Yeah.
Can they afford Chris Godwin? Because they have a lot of work that they need on the defense to make that a championship caliber team. Mm-hmm. They already have Mike Evans signed for 4 more years, including this one. But his cap hit becomes extremely palatable after this year.
Okay.
So could the Bucs elect to trade Mike Evans, take a $4 million cap hit, and then sign Chris Godwin?
Boy, I can't see it. I mean, if he's got a team-friendly contract, why would you trade Mike Evans?
Mike Evans doesn't have a team-friendly contract. His cap hit becomes team-friendly.
Okay.
So it could be easy to ship him off and sign Godwin and get something in return rather than let Godwin hit free agency and get really nothing back.
Now, the reason to sell on Chris Godwin right now, in my mind, is, all right, Tom Brady's his quarterback this year. What about next year or the year after that?
Well, the reason to sell on Godwin right now is, according to Fantasy Pros Dynasty Composite Rankings, he's the number 10 overall player in Dynasty Leagues right now, and he's the number 5 wide receiver. He's never going to get higher than that.
No.
This is peak value for Chris Godwin, and rightly so. But if you are a smart fantasy player, you sell when it's at that peak point. And this is the peak point right now. So it would be really hard to do so, but this is the time you sell Chris Godwin.
Yeah, like everything in this world, the people that get ahead are the ones that are buying when everybody else is selling and selling when everyone else is buying. You know, those the people that have the stones to do that. And nobody's selling Chris Godwin right now because the value is so high and there's so much excitement over Brady.
And we're not saying that he's going to have a bad season or a bad career or anything like that. It's just
you could get a lot.
You could get a ton for him right now.
Yeah. So let me play this out a minute. If I've got Chris Godwin and I want the third pick in this draft, are you taking that deal?
Which side am I getting?
You're getting Godwin.
I'm asking for the third pick.
You've got the third pick overall, and I'm offering you Godwin for pick 3.
I would take Godwin in that
pick 2.
I think I'd still take Godwin over any of the rookie picks.
I would take him over any of them.
It makes it closer and closer the closer you get to one.
It's really because there isn't a standout number one guy this year. There isn't an Ezekiel Elliott, for example, who was just such an obvious no-brainer number one pick in a rookie draft.
Sure.
It's not even obvious who the first pick is in a rookie draft this year.
Yeah, it's not a Zeke or Saquon year.
Right, it's not a Saquon year either, right. Okay, so let's Chris Godwin, we agree that you should test the water and see what you can get for Godwin.
Yeah.
Juju Smith-Schuster is a guy that I'm taking a strong stand against this year, which sounds obvious now after last year.
Good job, Charge.
Yeah, right. But I'm seeing places have him ranked 12, 15. I think there are a lot of people that think he's going to have the bounce back season. I don't. He comes in and the Steelers are in real trouble in cap space.
Yeah, they really are. Smith-Schuster's only making $1.3 million this year. The Steelers have $22 million in estimated cap space. That's 28th in the league, so they're bottom five. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of capital in the wide receiver position. James Washington was a second-round pick. He signed through 2021. Deontay Johnson, a third-rounder through 2022. Chase Claypool, also a second rounder through 2023. Just kind of like their running backs, which we discussed on last week's episode.
Yeah.
In the third or fourth round, they take a running back every year. In the second or third round, they take a wide receiver every year.
Yeah.
There's a lot of question marks. Who's the quarterback in Pittsburgh after Big Ben? Because this could be his last year there.
And we touched on this, I believe, last week. And if it wasn't last week, it must have been the week before. This could be the end for Big Ben this season. We don't know how good Ben Roethlisberger is right now.
Sure.
Because we don't have a data point on him for the last year and a half.
Yeah.
You know, all we got was one game out of Ben last year. What if he would have been bad last year, which is, at his age is a real scenario.
Sure.
He's entering his 17th year. 17th year for Ben Roethlisberger. The end might already be here. In 2020, it might be here right now, and we just don't know.
Same draft class was Eli Manning, and he retired.
He retired.
And Philip Rivers is also that draft class.
The
Steelers don't have the cap space to sign him. There's already rumors coming out of Pittsburgh management saying that it's his last year in Pittsburgh. The injuries and the fact that the situation in 2021 have really pushed his value down make him kind of an interesting speculative buy low for me. Because I think the value has really fallen. And if you find, you got to find the right dynasty owner. If you have a dynasty owner in your league who's like, all right, I'm sick of him, I'm ready to give up on this guy, that's the time you attack on Juju. But if it's one of those dynasty owners who's reading the positives and going, well, he's a top 12 wide receiver in dynasty mm-hmm. leagues, nope, not buying him at that level right now.
I think the reason to buy Juju is not for this year.
It's for next year.
It's for 2021 with the hope that he's somewhere else better suited for him.
I think it will get
better. With a more stable quarterback than whatever Pittsburgh is going to have next year.
Absolutely.
But when we look at the buyers list that you put together mm-hmm. of teams, most of them have got a problem at quarterback as it looks right now.
Yes.
Colts have a problem at quarterback. Chargers, unknown. Jaguars, probable unknown.
Don't talk about the Mississippi mustache that way.
Washington, problem. Patriots, problem. Bengals aren't, I don't know what the Bengals are going to be buying or not. Ravens, I mean.
Bengals just have a lot of open spots on that roster next year, which we'll get to in just a couple minutes.
Okay. So again, I think, I don't know that 2021 is necessarily going to be better for Juju, but he could find himself in a better spot, and that's that'd be the reason to
think
acquire.
Of him in Miami with Tua.
I like that idea.
That would be kind of a fun spot.
Yeah. They could use a slot receiver.
Yeah, there we go.
Let's go to Kenny Golladay, one of our favorite receivers. If Detroit lets him walk, they're fools. they've got the 12th most cap space heading into this one.
Yep.
And as you've noted out in some past shows, their receivers are all on expiring deals this year.
Yeah. Marvin Jones, Danny Amendola, Geronimo Allison, all expiring contracts
right.
this year. I think that they'll let those guys walk and try to bring back Kenny Golladay. Quintez Cephas, the rookie from Wisconsin, is their only wide receiver under contract in 2021. I don't think there's any way Golladay hits the market. Although, this might be a lame duck year for the staff in Detroit. Matt Patricia leads the Vegas odds for first coach fired.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The Lions were rumored to be in the quarterback market at pick 3, maybe for Tua. They did not take him.
And I think that was a mistake, if only to be planning for succession to Matthew Stafford.
Well, they don't plan for succession when a coaching staff's trying to keep their jobs this year,
there's
right?
There's some truth to that.
So I think he's still a buy low. And if we get a new coaching staff that comes in and it's a clean sweep of maybe some of the bad habits in that front office.
Yeah.
This could be an upgrade. Is it possible that Matthew Stafford retires, though?
Yes.
Yes, it is. That's a thing that Lions players do.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, if you're a good Lions player who's just tired of getting beat up and losing, you leave. And that's what it's been. And, you know, and with the injury, if Matthew Stafford has another injury like last year, I do believe he'll retire.
Yeah.
That's a great point, and it's a real area of concern because they don't have their next quarterback lined up.
They don't have anybody to throw to either. So Kenny Golladay could be staying in line for 180 targets for the next 5 years.
Yeah, but are they one hoppers from some awful backup or rookie or whatever?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. They might be in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes.
They could be, you
know,
very
if,
well.
If this Stafford thing plays out, you know, Stafford goes down in week three with a season-ending back injury.
What if it's Belichick versus Patricia trying to get
to see who can lose the most games? Yeah, it could be. So are we selling high on Kenny Golladay now? Because you and I both just identified some real concerns for next year and beyond.
Yeah.
He's just good.
He's just really good.
And young.
That's the problem. Talent wins out in this case. So if there's trepidation by an owner in your league and they're like, oh, I might not like this, I think it's a buy situation. But if you can get $1.25 for a dollar on him, I'd sell him.
Yeah, I get the feeling you can get a lot for Kenny Golladay right now because I don't think most dynasty owners are savvy enough to look into that crystal ball very far beyond this year or 2021.
I did a Twitter poll yesterday talking about Calvin Ridley, Odell Beckham, and Kenny Golladay. Pick two of the three. And the guy who won out as the top player who was on most of those teams was Kenny Golladay. So you could probably trade Kenny Golladay for Odell or Ridley and something right now. So that's the way I think that you have to look at it.
Man, just so much of a receiver's capabilities are tied into whoever's throwing him the ball.
Sure.
And we don't know who the Lions quarterback is going to be next year. Let's move to Cooper Kupp. One of my favorite players for this season. I've got him ranked really highly. His rookie deal is coming to an end, like all of these players. Mm-hmm. And the Rams are in a pretty good spot salary cap wise. Not this year, but next year. They're in the toilet right now. They're completely bound up.
Yeah, they have
but
the
next 14th year
most cap space next year, about $50 million. Worth noting that Bob Woods is under contract through 2021. He will make around $9 million next year and carries too big of a cap hit to be cut. Josh Reynolds is an unrestricted free agent after this season. Van Jefferson was their second round pick and is locked in through 2023. I was a bit surprised that the Rams weren't in cap hell, by the way.
No, they are this year.
I was looking it up. I couldn't find a team in the top 20 of available cap space where I think Cooper Kupp's production and value would increase. I think he's in a really good spot here.
Clearly.
So I don't think that he's going to go up in value if he moves on, but he could go down. So that's why it kind of makes him a sell high moment for me, because his value will stay the same if he's with the Rams, but it's got a better chance of going down if he hits the wrong spot, landing spot in another place. But that also makes a speculative buy low on Robert Woods, because if you remember 2 years ago when Cooper Kupp got injured, Robert Woods moved into the slot, and Robert Woods had great production from the slot for those last eight games of the
Whoever
year.
Whoever they put there does well.
Yeah. So if they decide, well, we got Robert Woods under contract and we're just going to try to, you know, mix in some rookies here so we can keep the bulk of this team together, it might be Robert Woods manning the slot next year. And I think you could get him at a pretty cheap level right now. That's the guy that I'd be speculatively buying low on right now.
I think Cooper Kupp's got a 80 or 90% chance of staying.
I think that you're probably right.
Yeah. And I think his value is I think what it is now. I don't know that you're going to get any more or less for him going forward. So I think Cooper Kupp, just he's Cooper Kupp.
He's Cooper Kupp. Yeah. But guys like
that's
Paul
deep
Charchi
insight.
And Paul
deep deep insight, by the way. Cooper Kupp is Cooper Kupp.
There we go.
The kind of insight you can only get on this show, Fantasy Football Weekly. Matt, let's take a break. We're talking about the dynasty players in the last years of their deal. Are you buying low, selling high? What could these teams look like next year and beyond? Paul Charchi and Matt Harrison with you, Fantasy Football Weekly. Welcome back to Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchi and Matt Harrison with you, breaking down dynasty players in the last year, their deals, pass catchers specifically, mm-hmm. Matt. We did running backs last week. We encourage you to check out the podcast on that. iTunes, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your favorite podcasts, you can find Fantasy Football Weekly. All the running back discussion from last week. This week, it's the pass catchers. We've already broken down George Kittle, Chris Godwin, Juju Smith-Schuster, Kenny Golladay, Cooper Kupp. Let's turn our attention to another five or so guys, beginning with Keenan Allen and another pretty unsettled quarterback position, depending on how you feel about Jordan Love.
Yeah, I want to note that the first five guys that we just talked about, they all haven't made their money yet. The next five guys we're going to talk about,
they've made some money.
Yeah,
that's right.
Keenan Allen making $10.5 million this season. He'll be 29 next year in the 2021 season.
For a guy with that beard, I always think he's about 52 years old. Well, you know, the bald head, the long scruffy beard. I'm like, man, he looks like an old guy already.
Let's get him together with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You can't beat the stew.
The Chargers have $102 million in cap space next year. That's the second
most.
They already picked up the fifth-year option on Mike Williams for next season. Mm-hmm. That means he's going to make $15.6 million next year.
He's done nothing to earn that yet. They must know something we don't know.
Well, here's what the Chargers know, and here's what we know about the Chargers. They're strangely loyal to players who don't make a lot of noise. Melvin Gordon made a lot of noise.
Yeah.
They let him go. Phillip Rivers started making a little bit of noise at the tail end of last year. They let him go. But they're signing Mike Williams to a $15 million deal. And KJ Hill and Joe Reed are the only guys on the depth chart beyond that.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen's going to probably stay there. They're going to probably make him a Charger for life. Mm-hmm. If he has any vibe with Justin Herbert at all, I think it's a no-brainer that they sign him to his final contract, and he can Larry Fitzgerald his way out of the Chargers organization.
Yeah, I said Jordan Love earlier. It should have been Justin Herbert, of course. So for Herbert, lots of question marks on what his development might look like, when he's going to start. Some people think that, much like the Browns a couple of years ago with Baker Mayfield and Tyrod Taylor, that they'll actually start Tyrod Taylor for at least a while. We don't know what that development's going to look like, but presumably Herbert's going to be at least okay. And by next year, hopefully, he will be a competent starter.
Is Keenan Allen one of those guys that people are just, he's been around forever?
They're bored of him,
but he keeps putting up numbers every year.
You know, the numbers are good. They're not great. But I think there is some real ennui with Keenan Allen.
Somewhat?
Ennui. Boredom. With Keenan Allen, that drives down his value. Right now, for this year, I believe he's wide receiver 25 for me.
25?
Yeah, I believe that's where I've got him. And that's a redraft.
That's low. He finished 11th last year.
I know. But it's all the quarterback, you know, it's all the quarterback changes. And you know, not knowing what kind, is he going to get spirals his direction? I realize that Phillip Rivers was not very good last year, and I'm probably a little more sour on him than I should be.
He's had pretty much 1200 yards each of the last three seasons and six touchdowns. He's bankable.
He is bankable, but you're right. He's boring. Keenan Allen.
He's totally boring.
Let's go to AJ Green, coming off a lost season last year. And there's plenty of other guys right now to catch passes around him, but really only Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins after that.
Yeah, $84 million in estimated cap space, sixth most. Green, obviously on the franchise tag, $17.8 million this year.
I'm a little surprised they gave him the franchise tag after what happened last year.
Who says no to $18 million when you didn't play a snap last year?
Not a snap. on an ankle injury.
Yeah.
Not a broken ankle. A sprained ankle, and you didn't play a down all year.
And it was weird last year because AJ Green seemed upset about
many times
getting injured. I think he wanted to be traded last year
too.
And then they're like, "Yeah, we know you didn't play last year, but we'll give you $18 million." And he's like, "Well, sign me up."
That's right. It's not stupid.
So, like you said, Tyler Boyd under contract through 2023, which we got right this week.
Thank you.
T. Higgins drafted in the second round. John Ross, his fifth-year option was declined, so he'll hit free agency after this year. If A.J. Green is Joe Burrow's guy,
I think T. Higgins is going to be his guy, but we'll see.
Well, let's see what happens long-term this year. But if he's his guy, I think that the Bengals are another one of those loyal franchises.
They are.
That will,
I agree with that.
That will bring you back and will bring mm-hmm. you back at a salary that that works. So we did talk about Joe Mixon, who also needs a new contract. I think if Mixon ends up hitting free agency, I think A.J. Green will stay. No questions about it. I think that they'll have the money to it.
Yeah.
They'll just do it.
Running backs just don't make as much money, and they aren't as coveted in free agency.
Yeah. So I think that offense is going to be better this year. Mm-hmm. Remember, they get first-round pick from 2019, Jonah Williams, back from injury to help anchor that line.
Yeah, that helps.
So I think he's a buy low for this year. But
you can't. It's so low. It's historically low on A.J. Green.
But here's the deal. I think you buy low, and I think that you sell as soon as you can.
Okay. Into the season.
Get eight games in and have A.J. Green have a 3-touchdown game. Mm-hmm. That's the moment you sell.
Paul Ciarci and Matt Harrison with you, Fantasy Football Weekly. Welcome back to Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Ciarci and Matt Harrison with you. The tempting part on A.J. Green is if he feels super old right now, right?
Same age as Julio.
Same draft. Yeah. Famously. If he still got 3 good more years in him and Joe Burrow is mm-hmm. everything we think he's going to be, man, it's such a good time to buy and hold him for 3 years. But I don't know that any of that is true. So we'll see. Let's move on to Allen Robinson. Mm-hmm. Chicago paid him a bunch of money to come over 3 years ago. He's in the last year of his deal.
Mm-hmm. $15 million this year. He'll be 28 years old during the 2021 season.
Which is pretty young still, considering how long we've been talking about Allen Robinson.
Well, I mean, he's 1 year younger than Keenan Allen. You called him the oldest guy in the league.
That's right.
So the Bears have $24 million in estimated cap space. That's not good. That's 26th mm-hmm. in the league. Anthony Miller is the only wide receiver under contract really worth mentioning. He was a second rounder last year. But get this. Allen Robinson's career quarterbacks. Oh, they're bad.
Oh, God, yeah.
Blake Bortles.
Yep.
Chad Henne, Mitchell Trubisky, and Chase Daniel are the players he's caught passes from in his career.
And now we're going to add Nick Foles to that.
And Nick Foles is probably
the best of the bunch by a lot.
Yeah. Outside of his ACL season, he's had over 150 targets in 3 of his 5 healthy seasons. Mm-hmm. And the Bears have a coaching staff that could be on the bubble as well this
100%.
Year.
If they don't make the playoffs again, if it's something a lot like last year, it's over.
Well, I think that they might be looking at a complete teardown of that franchise.
Yeah, front office too.
Khalil Mack might be on the market next year. They might have
to be on the market now.
Jettison players left and right. So I don't think it's very likely that Allen Robinson signs in Chicago, which means there's an upgrade coming for him.
Anywhere else.
It can't really get worse.
That's right. Anywhere else he could go. And by the way, Allen Robinson's really good.
Yeah, and I think his numbers do improve with Foles. I think this is your last buy low opportunity on Allen Robinson, which is why in our Empire League, I tried to buy him off of you this week.
You did.
And you turned him down, turned down the trade right away.
I wouldn't have made the, well, I will not even tell people what you tried to offer me for Travis Kelce and Allen Robinson.
It was a first round pick, a second round pick, and Michael Gallup. Who's a wide receiver that people like, and he's a...
CeeDee Lamb just destroyed him.
It probably didn't help.
Yeah. See, I love Travis Kelce. For me, from a Dynasty and Empire standpoint, he's just foundational.
You know what's great about Travis Kelce? He's older than Keenan Allen, older than the oldest guy in the NFL.
But he was a late bloomer because he didn't, like a lot of tight ends, he got very little action in his first few years.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he's a guy with a lot of wear on the tires.
Either way, buy Allen Robinson now before the season begins, and I think that you'll be happy about that.
Will Fuller is next up. The Texans obviously lost DeAndre Hopkins, gained back Brandon Cooks, but they also have Kenny Stills and Randall Cobb.
So the Texans have $12 million in estimated cap space next year. That's the lowest of any team that's not negative next year already. And by the way, they're paying $31 million this year to their top 4 wide receivers.
Ugh.
Randall Cobb, who was signed this offseason.
What a bad signing that was.
To a 3-year deal. He's got an out after year two, but he's stuck on roster. And next year, Randall Cobb's going to make $10.6 million.
Unbelievable.
Brandon Cooks will make $8 million this year. He has an additional 3 years on his contract, but could be cut for no penalty after this season.
They might have to do.
So he will be cut next year.
Which, by the way, is not good for Brandon Cooks.
No.
As a side note, we should spend a second on him.
Yeah.
Because Deshaun Watson's the guy. You want to invest in Deshaun Watson to Brandon Cooks.
Mm-hmm.
Cooks gets cut next year. It could be Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
To Brandon Cooks.
Cooks will be on his seventh team.
That's right.
In 6 years. Kenny Stills is making $7 million this year, and his contract expires this season too. I don't think the Texans can afford any of these guys, meaning Randall Cobb might be your wide receiver
receiver
on the Houston Texans next year. And can you imagine Will Fuller in Washington or Jacksonville or New England?
I'd rather
not. Yeah.
It's
going to be bad. He's definitely a sell high candidate right now, especially if he has one of those Will Fuller games.
I'm not selling today in May. I'm selling on October 7th, the Monday after he goes berserk one weekend, because you know he will.
And then the following weekend, he'll have a hamstring injury and hopes it out.
Well, that too. But people know this about Will Fuller.
Yeah.
That's
there's no secrets.
There are no secrets on Will Fuller, right? That's everybody knows.
It might not be sell high. It just might be sell.
Yeah, period. Just sell. Get out. All right, last guy. T.Y. Hilton, a player I think people are too down on after everything that went wrong last year. He got hurt. Jacoby Brissett isn't good. You know, so many problems with him. They get Phillip Rivers now, who will bring back, if nothing else, competency to the quarterback position. Chargers fans might argue, but compared to Jacoby Brissett.
I think earlier in this podcast, you just said Phillip Rivers wasn't very good last year.
He wasn't very good last year, but I think he'll be far better this year behind that offensive line. Here you have one of the classically immobile quarterbacks playing behind the best offensive line in football.
Yep.
I think Rivers is set on a nice little bounce back season coming, and I think T.Y. Hilton's going to be a big part of it, in part because Michael Pittman's a rookie. Paris Campbell's in his second year, but missed half of last year with that hand injury. Just there's so much more experience and productivity with T.Y. Hilton than everybody else.
Yeah, and Hilton's entering his age 30 season this year. He's making $14.5 million. The Colts, however, have the most salary cap space available next year at $110
million. Wow.
They have managed their cap so incredibly well in Indy, and I think are just waiting for the time to pounce and spend all that money and go for a title. It might not be with Phillip Rivers.
No, probably not.
And it might not be with T.Y. Hilton on the team either. Paris Campbell was a second round pick. He signed through the 2022 season.
One of my favorite deep sleepers for next year, Paris Campbell.
And then Michael Pittman was also a second round pick. He signed through 2023. Zach Pascal, he'll be a restricted free agent after this year.
He proved last year he's not a factor.
If they re-sign Hilton, it'll be at a hometown discount. He won't be making $14.5 million, I don't think, in his career.
Well, yeah, it depends on what this year, what he does this year, but you're right. I don't think he will either at this stage of his career.
And if we're worried about Ben Roethlisberger, we got to be worried about Phillip Rivers, because is he going to be around next year? Who will the Colts have at quarterback? So while you're buying T.Y. Hilton,
well, for this year I'm buying. For 2020 I'm buying him. I don't know about beyond that.
I'm selling T.Y. Hilton right now, even for the 2020 season.
His value is already low.
I know, but Christian Peterson always said, it's better to get out a year too early than a year too late.
Yeah. He's been saying that about Adrian Peterson for 10 years now. Yes.
He got out a long time ago.
He did.
So I think that I would probably try to get out on T.Y. Hilton while he does have some value, especially if he has a couple of good games this season.
And I think he will. I really do.
Yeah. And I don't think it's a talent thing. I just think there's too many question marks there.
If people want to get your dynasty rankings, what should they do?
Go find me on Twitter at Explosive Output. And my pinned tweet has a link to all my dynasty rankings, the trade value charts, as they're called.
Yes.
I have one for Superflex and one for single quarterback leagues.
Right.
And they're both available for a small nominal fee. for a guy who's, you know, making a few bucks here and there in the fantasy world.
Yeah, it's what I like best about your trade, your dynasty trade value chart is it also includes all the draft picks, and you know that's awfully important this time of year. So yeah. Trade this guy for the fifth pick in the first round or the fifth pick in the second round or whatever.
Well, now we have all the names to the 2020 draft selection, so yeah, we know that too. Clyde Edwards-Helaire
is worth this
is
much.
Worth 900 in the trade value chart.
Yeah,
so you can kind of make those assessments as you go as well.
Absolutely. Great work. We'll be back next week, I think, but I don't know for sure. But I think next week's topic is going to be pick number one. Do you have to take Christian McCaffrey? I don't know that you have to. You know, there's a scenario. There are several other players that you could put into that spot. So it might really turn into the top five.
Okay.
You know, one through five. But I'm fascinated by people with the stones to take anybody other than the obvious consensus number one guy, and they almost never repeat. Mm-hmm. And so there are people out there that are gonna have the guts to do it and want to think outside the box, and they're just not going to replay last year and assume that it's all going to be perfect. We'll see how that goes.
We'll see. I'm excited
already.
Yeah,
I love it. We'll talk to you next week, everybody.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.